This is certainly a momentous week for the Christian churches of the world. A new pope, Francis, his name chosen in memory of that humble monk who espoused the life of poverty. Jorge Mario Bergoglio is a Jesuit, a follower of St. Ignatius of Loyola, who through discipleship and prayer helped countless Christians discover their true vocation, often subsequently serving selflessly and sacrificially. Francis was chosen by the conclave of cardinals much more quickly than many expected, and with a radical change from the tradition of a European pope. This is a pope for the poor. Some of us remember David Shepherd's book, Bias to the Poor. David Shepherd, once the England cricket captain and then Bishop of Liverpool, who wrote extensively and in the 1980s produced the book, Bias to the Poor. Such publications helped us to rediscover the simplicity of the life of Jesus and the need to keep our eyes on the whole message of Scripture with its concern for justice, mercy, and humility. That was in the midst of monetarism in our own country and of the increasing gap between the rich and the poor, between the West and the third world countries, including Latin America. The shanty towns and street children of those countries were and are a scandal that we in the West seem to have little power over. Only now, in this new millennia, we see the increased gap between the rich and the poor in our own nation. The scandal of homeless young people and families, and the current need for food banks to provide the very basic essentials for many people's day-to-day existence. It's a scandal that that should be necessary. And there's a danger that as we try to understand something of the cause and the solution to such inequalities, especially as the recession continues and so-called austerity measures come into force, is to project our own dis-ease onto groups within society, rather than considering the root causes and being prepared to alter our own way of life. So we may center our attention on the smallness of our country and the influx of so-called foreigners without considering our own origins and the Christian call to hospitality, sharing, and recognizing our common humanity. Or we may ostracize a whole group within society and demonize them, and enjoy the sense of being united in opposition to, particularly at the moment perhaps, the bankers in our midst. If we were asked to find a story that mentions the fate of the rich in the teaching of Jesus, we might all find ourselves thinking of the story of Dives and Lazarus, which we looked at in our Lent group this week. The rich young man, the sheep and the goats. And it's vital that we do look at these stories and understand what the Spirit of God is saying to us in these days of relative prosperity for many of us. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, said Jesus of the rich young man. The disciples were dismayed and asked who then could be saved. Jesus' reply was, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." In today's gospel, we see God in Christ in action in the life of just such a despised rich man, a chief tax collector of the day, friendless and ostracized, but to Jesus, still a valuable human being with real needs and real possibilities for change. Zacchaeus made a huge effort not to be left out of the welcome celebrations as Jesus entered Jericho. No place was made for him at the front of the crowd. It seems everyone hated Zacchaeus. So he climbed into a tree. And Jesus specifically noticed him and truly saw into his need. Jesus has a way of looking us straight in the eye and seeing to our heart. I'm coming to your house today. That meeting of Zacchaeus with Jesus caused Zacchaeus to take off the superficial defenses of his wealth, to return the accumulation of tax revenue unjustly procured, and to find a deeper fulfillment, identity, and purpose to his life than the amassing of wealth. After all, what is money in the end? Purely a means of exchanging goods and services. Our destructive patterns of living in response to a deep-seated greed or insecurity, pride or need for status, hurt others whose lives are diminished and destroyed by the trap of poverty. But our own lives are also diminished if we refuse to see the freedom offered in Christ. Another great Christian leader has emerged on the scene in recent weeks. Here's his picture from some weeks ago. And his inauguration as the Archbishop of Canterbury happens on Thursday of this week. Now, I have no grounds for drawing parallels between Zacchaeus and the Right Reverend Justin Welby, except to observe that part of the formation of Justin Welby for his new role seems to have been in the privileged avenues of private education, this very university city, and the immensely rich and profitable oil industry. He has been a Christian disciple throughout these years, finding his spiritual identity in Christ, learning and experiencing a very different world from most of ours. But then being prepared to come down to earth, like Zacchaeus to climb down from the tree, to enter Christian ministry and be the means by which many will find their pattern of life challenged and their political policies scrutinized. We can see the movement of the Holy Spirit in both these new appointments and take hope from the sense that God is working his purposes out. God still remembers the poor and works towards justice and challenges the status quo in new and radical ways. But we can also take the challenge to our own hearts and let it affect our own patterns of living. In the knowledge that Christ's call to us is not to curtail our freedom, but to give us integrity, greater freedom of spirit, and inclusion in the community of Christ. And that is his desire for every human being on this planet. No doubt today we'll be praying for both those Christian leaders, and let us pray for ourselves as well. In Jesus' name, amen.